Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. You know, as we get into Christmas season, it really emphasizes how busy we can be in our lives each and every day. And sometimes our busyness, although for good things, is not necessarily the best thing. And it's important that we stop and prioritize. I hope that you enjoy the conclusion of this message that we began last time. It's Christmas, so hurry up and slow down.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Your plate is so full and your mind is so occupied with doing things that you're forgetting the most important thing. That's me. She'd invited Jesus into her home and had so much activity going on. She was so cumbered. That word cumbered means to drag around. Picture an old prisoner with a shackle around his ankle and a chain and a big lead ball. That's what cumbered means. She was dragging around all these responsibilities. And there was Jesus with these 12 pastors in her home. She was so busy that she didn't have time to actually spend with her honored guests. And she became bitter, she became critical, and she became resentful. And consequently, she was so busy serving Jesus that she didn't have any time to spend with Jesus. And again, what were the results? Bitterness of her heart, bitterness towards her sister, resentment towards her guest, because she was so preoccupied with working for the Lord. She was so preoccupied with working for these preachers and working for her family that she missed the blessing of enjoying her family and enjoying these preachers. And most importantly, she missed the blessing of enjoying fellowshipping with her Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know there's a purpose to this sermon. I'm preaching it to me. I'm just preaching it out loud so you all can listen to it. It's the Christmas season. This is a time of joy and remembrance, a time of fellowshipping with family and friends, and we all run the risk of being so busy doing Christmas that we don't enjoy the season. We can run the risk of being so consumed with shopping and cooking and doing things for our family and friends that we forget about the blessing of enjoying our family and friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been conned largely by convenience. We no longer have to stand together and wash dishes over the sink. We can just place them in the dishwasher. We no longer have to waste time driving from point A to point B. We can work while we're driving. Fortunately, we have text messaging and cell phones, so there can be no dead time. We can just work constantly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't even have to spend time writing letters and putting them in the mail. We've got text messaging, emails, all sorts of instant messaging for immediate communication. We no longer have to visit with the family or the neighbors. We have 200 channels of nothing to watch at home. But with all these wonderful time-saving inventions, we all have less time than ever before because we simply overload ourselves with activity and race through life. Fairview Baptist Church, we must discipline ourselves to understand that every so often you just have to stop and be still. Stop moving. Take a breath and just rejoice in the day that the Lord has given you. Now, we are stubborn Baptists. I'm an independent Baptist and I'm proud to be of it. But if you look up that word in the dictionary, it means stubborn. Oh, come on. You know I'm telling the truth. But I believe we've missed something. Now, don't take me wrong. We've missed something being under grace. And again, bear with me for a minute. I haven't gone off the deep end. I've not become a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not going to be advocating going to the Sabbath day. But just hold on with me if you would. We thumb our nose at the idea of the Sabbath, saying that it's not for us. And that's right, but it's also wrong. We have the idea that the Sabbath was some burdensome ritual that the Jews were forced to do. And yes, the Sabbath was a sign of Israel's distinction and sanctification under the Lord. And yes, we no longer have to observe the Sabbath being under grace. But the Sabbath wasn't designed to be a burden. It was a gift to Israel. God said, every day is mine. You know what? All 7 days belong to the Lord. But out of His kindness, He has given us 6 days to do all our labor. After all, He did all His labor of creation in 6 days. But the seventh, He has reserved unto Himself. He said, the seventh is mine. I don't want you to work. I want you to rest. I think somebody's alarm is going off out there if you happen to be your car. Isn't church fun? But He said this, on the seventh, I don't want you to work, I want you to rest. And in fact, Jesus taught the Pharisees that man wasn't created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for the man. Now, what a gift. These people who had been enslaved for over 400 years, always working, even if you were sick, even if you were injured, they had to go to work. Now they were being commanded by their God to rest and make every seventh day a holy day or a holiday. Folks, the idea was to be a gift from an omniscient God to His creation because He knows that we need it. At the end of a week of labor, you need a day of rest from that labor. Boy, what a gift. Put down your shovel. Put down your pen. Put down your stress. Put down your emotional, mental, and physical labor and rest in the Lord. Now you better say amen to that. The Pharisees corrupted God's gift and the Lord Jesus corrected them. You can do good on the Sabbath, Jesus said. If the ox was in the ditch, go ahead, get him out of the ditch. The Sabbath was not supposed to be a burden, it was a gift. God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now man, in his ignorance, tried to define exactly what it meant to remember the Sabbath day and put all sorts of burdensome rules and restrictions. You can do this, you can't do that, you can only walk so far. Those rules and restrictions even exist to this day. You go into the city of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day and see these Orthodox Jews. I mean, some of the stuff is ridiculous. The hotels that we stay at, some of the luxury hotels that we'll stay in Jerusalem, they have at least half the elevators set up as Sabbath elevators. And what does that mean? That means that these elevators will automatically open and close on every floor, going up and going down. So you don't have to actually push the button. Because they don't want you to have to work on the Sabbath day. I meant to bring some of this. I've got some of it at home. It cracks me up. Do you know that they actually have, I didn't know what it was. I asked Itamar, my first time to Israel. I said, what is this on the back of the toilet? I thought it was some feminine product or something. And it was a package of pre-torn toilet paper. Seriously, I'm not kidding to you. They have packages. Now, here's the problem. How do you open the package to get to it? But they have packages of pre-torn toilet paper so you don't have to work on the Sabbath day. Now, folks, that has gotten absurd. That is ridiculous. That is not that's missing the point altogether. God said, man, you'll work yourself to death because of your greed and your hard hearts. You'll overwork your body. You'll neglect your family. And most importantly, you'll neglect to spend time with me. You need a rest. Therefore, I command you to take a day and rest. Now, there's a lot of good that we can learn, even from the modern Jewish people and how they do their Sabbath. It's really a fun day. As I said a while ago, and I'm sure I'll say it again, it's a one-week holiday out of every week. They prepare for it. It's an exciting end of the week. They begin first with a family devotional service, reading from the Old Testament. Then they're all dressed up in their Sunday best, so to speak, and they go and feast. I like that. We Baptists have a lot of Judaism to our roots. We just don't know it. In fact, we've got a Jewish Savior, did you know? But they feast and they fellowship together. And after dinner, they sit with coffee and they visit and they fellowship as a family for the rest of the evening and do no work. The next morning, they get up. And it's a day of holy convocation, which means that they're to gather together in an assembly, and they go to their synagogues and read the Tanakh. That's followed by another big family meal and day of fellowship and conversation with your family. Imagine sons and daughters actually talking to their parents. What a novel concept. And throughout the rest of that day up until the evening, because theirs begins at the evening and the morning were the first day. It's nothing but just rest and family and fellowship. The idea is a one-day holy day, one-day holiday, one-day sanctified day, a special day, forsaking stress and labor and focusing on family, fellowship, and God. Now, I heard Dr. Talmadge made a statement like this. Imagine if you went into a store and the store clerk there says, I'm going to give you six pairs of socks. And while he's packaging your six pairs of socks, you steal a seventh pair. That would be downright mean, wouldn't it? Folks, every day is the Lord's. He's given six to us to work. But he said, there's a day, human beings, there's a day, man, which I've created and love, that you better set aside and spend some time with me and spend some time with your family and spend some time working, or you'll work yourself into an early grave. Now, I'm not suggesting we Gentile Christian Baptists start observing the Sabbath. What I am reminding you of is that God warned us not to be too busy that we live our lives and miss out on living. I'm concerned that we're so busy raising our children that we miss knowing our children. I'm so concerned that we're so busy cohabitating with our spouses but living alone. I'm concerned that we become worn out because of stress and we find ourselves in the hospital or in an early grave. Ladies and gentlemen, Martha was a dedicated, genuine, loving, wonderful, godly woman, but she had been so occupied with doing good things. She was working responsibly, she was entertaining, she was serving her Lord, but she'd lost her joy. She was distracted from focusing on the most important thing, that intimate time alone at the feet of her Lord and Savior. She was neglecting that good part. That means that beneficial portion, that portion for her benefit, which Mary had. And three times in the Scriptures, you'll note where Mary is. In this passage, in Luke chapter 11, you find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 11, at Lazarus' death, when Jesus came, you'll find Mary again at the feet of Jesus. And in John chapter 12, just days before his arrest and crucifixion, you see Mary at the feet of Jesus, anointing those precious feet and wiping them with her hair, delighting in the Savior's presence. My church family, in this day of so many things going on and so many distractions in our lives, especially in this time of year, get busy slowing down and savor the time that we have with our family, savor the time we have with your friends, and most importantly, slow down and spend some time at the feet of Jesus every day. If you don't, you'll become bitter and critical and selfish. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Paul. I know good preaching when I hear it. And I've decided that if you're not going to amen me, I'll amen myself. Martha was loaded down. She had great responsibilities. She had wealth to manage. She had a family to care for. She had company to entertain. She had a Lord to serve. But she became distracted and neglected that best part, a little personal time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many things in this world waiting to distract us, waiting to occupy us. One thing is we can become encumbered with our work. Folks, work is good. We're not commanded to buy lottery tickets. We're commanded to use the fruit of our labors to do that which was good. We're supposed to work to produce. We're supposed to provide for our families. We're supposed to support and give to the Lord's work and support this church and other ministries. You're supposed to help support those in need. But with all the conveniences of this day and age, with fax machines and emails and cell phones and you name it, we've gotten all this extra time, and rather than resting with the extra time, we take on more and more responsibilities and overload and overburden ourselves, and we neglect the best part, and we consequently become bitter and critical towards our coworkers, towards our jobs, or even worse, you come home from a bad day at work and you take it out and dump on your children and on your wife. Boy, I see a lot of deer-in-the-headlights stares out there. We can be too busy with our kids. So busy cooking breakfast, preparing lunch, helping them with their homework, washing clothes. I think that's all we do at our house is wash clothes. I've never seen so many clothes. I think we're going to get rid of everything. Everybody's going to have two pairs of pants, and two shirts. If nothing's clean, you just stay in the house. But we're so busy with the kids, cooking breakfast, preparing lunch, helping with the homework, washing clothes, taking them to school, picking up their cleaning, taking the kids to band practice or to football practice, or preparing dinner. We're so busy that we neglect the best part, just simply enjoying being with our children. It's even possible to be so occupied with the Lord's work that we don't enjoy the Lord Himself. Jesus said in Revelation 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ephesus was a great church, and they did all the things right, except their hearts had grown a little cold and they were just going through the motions. We're guilty of falling into the same trap. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say that we must not ever be so busy to neglect the truly important things. Husbands and wives, don't be so mechanical that you take your mate for granted. Do you remember when you were dating? How it didn't matter what kind of a day you had at school or how bad of a day it was at work. Just knowing that you were going to be together that evening and see the one that you loved, it was a great day. And your heart was happy and you smiled. It's supposed to still be that way. In fact, it's supposed to be even better, because that person was just somebody that you knew, were getting to know. This person that you go home with every day is your mate, flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. You have become one flesh in the Lord. Don't let that intimacy vanish from your relationship. You know, I've learned something from Joshua, which is the first thing I've ever learned from Joshua. But we can all be so busy. Joshua is the king of text messaging. And you young people know exactly what I'm talking about. You all can text message without even looking at your phone. How you do that? There's like three letters on each number. And you know just the proper number of clicks and which one to go through, and you can text message. I'm terrible. I've got two thumbs and both eyes. And usually backspace, backspace, backspace. Okay. But I still think of her, my wife, all the time, but we take for granted our wives. Remember when you were dating and you go, oh, I think of her, and you'd write her a little note? Brother Gene did. He's like, what? You're supposed to do that stuff? I didn't know that. Wow. Or you might actually place a phone call to her, and then you get married, and all that seems to stop. It's not supposed to stop. I sent her a text message the other day. I love you, with one of those little smiley faces. I'd never done a smiley face with a text message before. Cindy replied, she said, I love you too. Who is this? I was working at the computer the other day, and I was working on it, and I was thinking, I just thought about this. So I grabbed my phone, and I said, just thinking of you. That's not much, but it's special. You know what? We are so busy living together, working our way through life, that we forget to stop and enjoy living together with each other through this life. Don't be so busy doing marriage that you forget to just fully enjoy everything that goes along with being married. We work together doing the dishes. We do stuff around the house. We do the dishes together. Absolutely. We'll clean up the kitchen together. I'll finish what she doesn't finish on her plate. But that's good quality time. Just spend some time while you're doing the dishes talking. talking about the day, talking about the kids. I remember Dad was always so busy, but Dad was always so faithful. Mom would be in the kitchen working, and Dad would always come in and sit on this like a bar. I don't want to call it a bar stool because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But you know, one of those taller stools in the kitchen, you know, one of those working stools in the center island, you know. And Dad would sit in there just at the bit, and it didn't just go in and plop himself down the lazy, but he'd come in and sit and talk with his wife. That's how it's supposed to be. Don't neglect your children. Don't be so busy doing things for your kids that you forget to spend time with your kids. Pray with them. Spend time with them. Talk with them. Let them be able to share with you what's on their heart and some of the things that they're happening to be going through at this point in time. Hey, tough thing for our kids to understand is that we were once their age. That is tough to get. But spend time with them. And that means doing some of the things that they want to do sometimes. Maybe that means playing some stupid video game periodically. Within reason. You know, when we used to have a swimming pool, I used to love to go out and lounge in the pool. The less activity, the best. And as I'm heading to the, and we don't have a pool anymore. Actually, City of Edmond outlawed it. My weight, after I hit 300 pounds, they said, sorry. We run a risk if a plane flies over too low of altitude, it could wreck, you know. But when we used to have a swimming pool, I'd want to grab a book and head for the float and just go out there and read. Guess what? Twiddledee and Twiddledum would come running out there, leaping into the pool, wanting to play a wonderful game called Sharks and Minnows. You know what? Being a crummy dad is saying, leave me alone, I'm reading. You guys do what you want. But spending time with your children is actually playing the sharks and minnows. Spend time, ladies and gentlemen, with the Lord. Spend time in your Bible every day. You know, we've got a book here that's illegal in many, many countries around the world. That Christians have to hide this book and risk search and arrest and punishment if they're found in its possession. Yet most American families may have four or five or more laying around the house that are never touched. The Bible says of itself, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Excuse me, David said that of the word of God. Read the Bible. Don't let your mind wander. Ask for the Holy Spirit to teach you things as you read. Think about the background of the passage that you're reading. Think about those that are involved. Get the picture of the setting and let the Lord speak to your heart. There may be passages of Scripture that you don't understand that you read it, but just say, well, Lord, show me what this is, and close the book, and as you're going around through the rest of your day, be meditating on that passage of Scripture. And you'll be amazed as you sincerely start thinking and you put Scriptures together how God will speak to your heart and the lights will come on, so to speak, and you'll have some epiphany of spiritual knowledge. And it's a great time of you just get excited with the Lord. It's like, praise the Lord, this is great. Spend some time with the Lord every day. And pray every day. David said, evening, morning, and at noon I'll pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Pray sincerely. You're not trying to impress anybody with your prayer. When it's just you and the Lord, by the way, you're not going to fool him either. Oh Lord, I come to you this afternoon as I'm driving my car, and just speak to him. Jesus said we have the privilege of crawling up in his lap and calling him Abba, which means daddy. We have a personal relationship. The God of all creation that holds our very hearts in his hands, we can crawl up innocently and securely into his lap and say, daddy, let me tell you what's on my mind. Oh, and by the way, I sure do love you. I used to tell my Little League baseball players when I coached Little League, I said this. I said, be quick, but don't hurry. In other words, what I meant is I wanted them to execute, but I didn't want them to get careless. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lots of activities going on this next month during the Christmas season. And there will be church programs and school programs and Sunday school parties and office get-togethers. Be quick, but don't hurry. Don't rush. Don't miss it. Be still. Breathe. Stop long enough to focus on every conversation that you're having. Don't just blaze through a conversation with a guy that you happen to work with. Don't just blaze through a conversation with somebody here at the church so you can get on down the road and get to the next thing. Don't just blaze through a conversation with one of your children or your parents. Savor this day. Savor the opportunity. Savor the relationships that you have. Enjoy your spouse. Savor what a wonderful mate God has given you. Enjoy your family. Savor every moment. This could be the last holiday you spend with some in your family. I don't know, and I'm not talking about age. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So savor every minute of every day with your family. And most importantly, enjoy time every day with the Lord. Point of the message is this. Martha wasn't sinning. She was serving. She was doing good. She was a responsible lady. She was feeding and entertaining and housing and caring for these poor itinerant preachers. But her plate had become so overloaded. She was so busy working for her family that she missed being with her family. She was so busy working for her company that she missed being with her company. She was so busy serving the Lord that she had missed enjoying the Lord. And that caused her to become worrisome, irritable, and critical of all three. But you know what? Martha learned her lesson. There's another story just in John chapter 12. Days before Jesus' arrest, false trial, and crucifixion. And they're all back at Martha's house again. And once again, she's in the kitchen preparing a meal for Jesus. All 12 disciples, Mary, Lazarus herself, at least 16 people there, possibly more. And again, John 12 says that Mary's at the feet of Jesus. But this time, you see Martha serving, only she's serving with a song in her heart and a skip in her step and not one word of complaint. Fairview Baptist Church, it's Christmas. So hurry up and slow down. We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.